hello everybody and welcome back. Welcome back to the American History Program of History at Our House for the elementary class. This is lecture 45 in our studies this year. We've accomplished some great work in the past calendar year, and I'm excited about what we are going to do in 2015. Especially because we are going to be studying the birth of the United States. We are almost ready for that story. To be ready to study the birth of the United States means to know the right information in order to understand that story and appreciate what it means in history. I think that the American Revolution, which produced the United States, is absolutely one of the most important events in history. Because what kind of world is it that we live in? Rather than me telling you, you tell me. Why is the American Revolution, why is the birth of the United States an important event in history? What is it that we know about this world that we live in that tells us the answer? Abby, go ahead.
Well, we are the United States. We aren't ruled by a king. We are free people with freedom of religion.
All right, those are all good answers. I'm looking for a slightly different answer. So everything that you said is true. But as far as, imagine even if you aren't in the United States, imagine if you are not American, imagine that it's just something that we are trying to say about the world. Then when we're talking about something being important, we're talking about something that's important to everybody. And so Wyatt, Henry, what would you say about that?
This is Wyatt Hill.
Yeah.
Because America is the most important country in the whole world.
There you go. The most important. Right, exactly. So the way that we put that is, and it's by far, it's not even a contest, right? So it's not even a contest. So what do we say about that? Like, when we look at the solar system, there's no contest about what is the biggest thing, right? Nobody says that any of the planets can measure up to the sun, right? So it's what scientists call heliocentric. So in the world, there's no other country that's anywhere near as important as the United States. So what's our expression for that to describe the world that we live in? I was giving you guys a hint there, right? Heliocentric. What is the world today like? It is Sigourney.
America-centric,
right, exactly. So that's another way of saying the United States is by far the most important country in the world, right? And I was just looking the other day at a really cool map also. There's so many ways to express this and explain this, but I thought I would share with you another cool one that you may or may not be familiar with. So, isn't this a cool one? So, this is a map, a kind of map, right, of the internet. So, you have to kind of get what's being said here. It is a map of internet traffic. So, what does that mean? If you are using the internet, what country is your use of the internet going to be connected to? I mean, it's astounding, right, Abby?
America?
It's impossible to escape how important it is. The traffic, if people want to use the internet in China or in Japan, what do? They connect to America. If people in Europe want to use the internet, they connect to America. Canada connects to America. Everybody connects to America. So, yeah, so the internet, that is this wonderful thing that we are using for history at our house, right? That also is America-centric. I mean, it doesn't stop there, right? We've talked about military power. We have talked about the influence of America through television shows and the type of food that Americans eat and that people also enjoy around the world. I saw something else that's really funny over the Christmas break. I thought there was so many interesting things going on over the Christmas break in the world, and so many interesting pieces of news. Here's something funny that I saw over the Christmas break. In Japan, people celebrate Christmas. However, it's absolutely nothing like Christmas in America. In Japan, for some strange reason, because people in Japan are not Christians, right? So they don't have that particular connection. But because the world is America-centric, something very strange has happened in Japan. There are a lot of food chains from America over there, and somebody really brilliant, somebody a marketing genius over there, managed to convince the Japanese that on Christmas Day, you eat Kentucky Fried Chicken. So, in Japan, the people have this tradition. Christmas Day is for Kentucky Fried Chicken. And this is the holiday. So, that's a totally different thing, right? But it's a really strange and amazing thing that just shows us how important America is. Right. So, just give me a second here, and I'm going to just send a quick note to a new student who's trying to join. Okay. All right. So, this was just, there were so many too. I saw so many interesting so many interesting pieces of news recently about America-centrism in the world. So I just thought I would share that one with you. There were others, but that's kind of just a fun one. All right. But now let's get back to the main idea here, which, the importance of the American Revolution. Now, I want to say something about the American Revolution, which is really, to me, the most important thing, and I'm going to switch over to this because this is going to be our timeline that we're going to review here for today, right? I want to say something about the American Revolution. The American Revolution is indeed one of the most important events in history. Now, very often, I have to stop and explain to students that important does not necessarily mean good, right? So this is something that everybody needs to understand when they study history, and I worry that a lot of people get confused about this when they see that something is important. They sometimes feel that they're not clear on what the difference is between important and good. So we have lots of events in history that are important, but not good. And so, for instance, from our anchor fact timeline, right? The fall of Rome is an event where Germanic barbarians destroyed a civilization. And that caused the Dark Ages. My goodness. What a terrible, terrible thing. But that is important. It's a terrible thing, but it's important because the history of the world was changed. So what's the difference between important and good? We know what good means. It improves life. It makes life better. All right. So what's important? We have to have a good, clear definition in our minds about what important means instead of good. So, what is that? When we are saying that something is important, it doesn't mean good or bad. It means something else. What does it mean to say that something is important? What does it mean? Abby?
It plays a rather large role.
a large role. Okay, that's kind of on the right track. All right, I'm going to help you with that one. That's on the right track. It's significant. We can kind of get stuck into using kind of synonyms here, and that's useful, but it's not really good enough to be clear on what the meaning of something is. So I'm going to give you the most essential definition of what it means to say something is important. Something is important when it is worthy of your attention. When it is worthy of attention. That's the meaning of important. So let me give you a good example. And how to tell the difference between good and bad. All right, so imagine you are sitting at home relaxing, playing video games. And you learn on the television that a hurricane is coming your way. Okay, well, that's not good, right? That's not good. But what should you do? Should you do the thing? Should you pay attention to the thing that's good and fun? The video games? Or should you give your attention to the hurricane that's coming your way? Which one of those things is important? Not a difficult question, right? Rosetta, go ahead.
You should give the attention to the hurricane.
Okay, so there's a really good demonstration, right, of the difference between good and important. Right? It would be really ridiculous for you to say, oh, I'm not going to pay attention to the hurricane because it's bad. I'm going to pay attention to the video games because they're good. Right? Oh my goodness, that would be a big mistake. So that's the meaning of important versus good. Something can be bad, but important. Okay? Now, here's the wonderful thing, though. Isn't it nice when things are important and good? Oh, fortunately, that also happens a lot in history, wonderfully so. So it sure is nice, and that's the best time when you're studying history, when you're studying things that are important and good. So, for instance, coming back to our anchor fact timeline, which you may have detected has been slightly modified and features some interesting new thing here, but what would you say on this timeline, would, other than we have the American Declaration of Independence, that certainly is a wonderful thing that is important and good. All right, but what else on here would you say is important? It's an anchor fact of history, right? It's also good, though. It's a thing that we can rightly celebrate as being good in history. And, of course, it's important for you to be able to tell me why. So, Patrick, what would you say is important and good?
I'm not sure, really. Maybe it's something like... I'd say something near the BC's time.
Well, no, I need a more specific answer than that, please. Make sure you have a specific answer. Okay, Rosetta, go ahead.
I think what's important and good is signing of the Declaration of Independence.
Okay, we've already got that one. What would be another one?
The work of Jesus Christ.
Okay, why?
Because he spread a new religion.
Okay, so in your mind then, to have the start of a new religion is a good thing. Okay, not everybody would agree with that, but that is true. Okay, that would be something that's a possible choice. What would be another choice here that would be connected to, especially to American freedom? Which you could agree to no matter what religion you have. Dana, please.
Well, the freedom of speech, you can talk about anything and you don't have to go...
Okay. But I'm asking you about this anchor fact timeline here as a review kind of question. You have kind of choices to pick from here. Among the most important facts in all of history... that help to explain the way the world is today. Among these most important, what would be another one that absolutely represents progress for everyone? Jeremy, go ahead.
The rise of Athenian democracy.
The birth of Athenian democracy in the Roman Republic, indeed. So that is another one that is good and important at the same time, because it's the first, those are the first places anywhere in the world where people are saying, we are going to be free. This is the first birth of freedom. Right, exactly. So that is definitely one that is worth celebrating. Okay, and we have others throughout history, and Dana was giving us kind of an interesting thought about how, yeah, we can certainly point to other things. Part of American freedom is the freedom of speech, which is, we're going to talk about that. And there are other events in history that are entirely positive and wonderful. And so we can point to those as good and important. So the American Revolution, though, is really the top one. Why, Henry, did you want to say something about that?
This is Wyatt here. I think that the Jamestown premise is a good one, since it helps America become better. It helps America grow.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, we're going to get to that one. As you can see, I've added this. So this is a new one. So I want to wait on that one for just a minute. But, yeah, you could say that the discovery of America, the colonization of America, these are also positive things because they brought European civilization to America and allowed people to be here and eventually to become the ones that are going to make American freedom. So, yeah, now that's a good example. And so, yeah, we'll come back to that one. All right. So, now, what do we need to know? What we have on the screen now is a new version of the Anchor Fact timeline that you are familiar with. And so we've talked about this as being important and good for freedom, and these governments being the first form of freedom as well. And we've talked about another anchor fact, which is the birth of Christianity as an important religion in the world as well. Okay, I want to now kind of make sure, as part of our preparation for learning American history, that we are ready to understand more of it as we encounter it. Because what we're going to see in American history down here is, well, we already kind of know, but let's just focus in on it for a minute. Declaration of Independence from what? What do we have to be ready to understand here in the story? What is America going to be independent of when freedom begins? Okay, Abby, go ahead.
Rule of Kings.
The world of kings. Yeah, the rule of kings. Very nicely put. I mean, specifically, it's going to be the English king, but the rule of kings. So to understand American history, we certainly need to know about how the world was, sadly, importantly, full of kings. Okay, somebody help me with an anchor fact that helps us to understand the world full of kings. All right, Patrick, go ahead.
I think it's the Menes in armor.
Okay, he was the king or the pharaoh of?
Egypt.
Ancient Egypt, starting in 3000 BC. So, for 5,000 years of human history, what has been the main form of government among human beings? What do we call a government that has one ruler at the top? Who can give me that one? Rosetta, go ahead.
Monarchy.
A monarchy, right, indeed. So the American Declaration is a declaration of independence from monarchy. That's a very important fact for us to be prepared to know and think about the fact that, wow, ever since 3000 BC, That's what people have accepted. Now, what's another anchor fact that could help us to understand, especially what kind of monarchy America became independent of? What kind of monarchy America became independent of? What do we have here? Would Athens help us with that? Not so much. Birth of Jesus, not so much either. I'm going to give you guys a hint, okay? Because it's a little bit of a tricky one. How would the fall of Rome help us to understand what kind of monarchy would America be independent from? What's the answer there? Why is the fall of Rome an important event for all of history? Walker, Allison, did you want to try that? I see you guys kind of trying to work your sound there. Or maybe I lost you. Okay. All right. Well, what happened after the fall of Rome? Europe became divided up into what? I'm going to show you guys. Europe became divided up into what? What do we see on the left-hand side of the screen here? Wyatt, Henry?
Wyatt?
Yes?
Well, what I have to say about it is it got divided up into many countries.
Many separate countries, indeed, from which America is going to become independent from this one here, right? The one in pink, which is England. What are the other important ones on the map here? Everybody should be able to help me with this one. So, what are the other ones? What's the blue one? Dana, what's the blue one?
France,
thank you. Okay, who can tell me what the orange and the light green one are? Right? Patrick?
Spain and Portugal.
Spain and Portugal, very good. And then we have this kind of mixed up one over here that's yellow and green. What countries did these become? This boot over here and this big kind of thing in the middle of it all. What were those? Rosetta?
They became Italy and Germany.
Yeah, right, especially. Okay, very good. So this is something that we need to understand in American history as well, is that the people of Europe were in many different countries, and so they didn't get along with each other, right? In fact, we know that France and England, good old worst enemies forever because of the Hundred Years' War. And the people of Spain and Portugal had fought a reconquista to take back their land against the Muslims. So, and then, well, what was the most recent example of Europeans really just finding it impossible to get along with each other? And I'll give you a hint here because if we connect this back to our timeline, it has something very important to do, especially with this anchor fact. Remember who the people were who came to Plymouth. Jeremy, go ahead. Hold on. Why can I not unmute you? Jeremy, unmute yourself. Can you not? Okay, maybe I'm having trouble. Abby, go ahead.
Puritans.
Okay, which has to do with what? What basic kind of religion did they have?
They were Calvinists.
Calvinists. Okay, so what's that connected to, Abby? What story that's important here that's kind of a part of the Puritans / pilgrims, right, coming to America? What's that connected to, Abby?
The freedom of religion, and how their king of England would not let them have freedom of religion.
Right, so it was connected to the fact that the people of Europe were at war over different forms of Christianity, right? What were those kinds? We've got Calvinism already. Sorry, Abby, I'm going to give other people a chance here. What were those kinds of Christianity back in Europe? We had the original kind, and then we've got at least three major new kinds. Okay, Rosetta, what's one of them?
Anglicanism.
Anglicanism, which was in what country?
In England.
England, right. Okay. And Patrick, what was another one?
Lutheranism.
Lutheranism, which was created by Martin Luther. Where was that mostly? Does anybody remember? Yeah, no, that's not so much a big part of American history yet. Lutheranism is not as important as Calvinism. But Abby might remember. Go ahead, Abby.
Holy Roman Empire.
Yeah, right, up there and also up in the northern parts of Europe during the religious wars, Lutheranism was important. And the original kind, the one that was most important in Europe all the way up to those religious wars, Dana, go ahead.
Anglicanism.
I think you said Anglicanism. That's not the one.
Yeah.
Okay. What was the one that came before that had the Pope as the leader, Wyatt?
Well, it was Christianity.
Well, yeah, okay. I mean, there weren't a lot of different kinds. So before this split into different sects, yeah, we don't usually kind of pay attention to the specific name. But once we have Calvinism and Anglicanism and Lutheranism, well, now we need to pay attention to that specific name. Rosetta?
Catholicism.
Yeah, it's hard to say, isn't it? Catholicism. Catholicism. Try that one out.
Catholicism.
Oh, yeah, it's hard. Keep practicing. Catholicism, right, okay. So this is also a part of our story, right? Because when people started coming to America, which is our new anchor fact on our timeline here, they had different beliefs. Very important. The people of Jamestown were from England, and so they were Anglicans. The people at Plymouth, however, were escaping from England, so they were Calvinists. And there came to be, over the course of colonization, people in the American colonies of very many different beliefs. Now, if Americans were going to do the same things as Europeans, what, sadly, was going to happen? With people of different religious beliefs side by side, Abby?
Religious wars.
Yeah, they were going to end up fighting. That was certainly the pattern. Except, gradually, what came to be important in the American colonies was the idea of religious toleration. Right, so we start to have different colonies, and I'm going to bring that up on the map as a final map for today to kind of just bring to your attention. This is going to be the kind of thing that's going to be on your American history test probably next week or the week after. We're going to be getting there to our test 3. Right, so this, I'm bringing this up to remind you to get back to your American geography maps if you need them. This is kind of a map that helps us. There's different ways of showing this map, but it helps us to remember kind of what the colonies were and will help us because these were approximately the 13 colonies when America was formed. So, if you're not too comfy with these colonies that don't exactly look like the states exactly right now, right? But they're getting pretty close, right? Some interesting differences. You need to review this. This is now an important exercise for everybody here, right? So, for instance, what is this one that has this funny hook-like shape over here? You've got to know it. For American history. Sigourney?
New Hampshire. And the capital is Concord.
No. Be careful. You are talking about this one here. Okay, so what is this one? Patrick?
Massachusetts,
right. Now, whether or not you know the capital depends on how comfortable you are with the geography. If you're an expert and you know all of these things, then go ahead, right? If you can look at this and know, hey, wait a minute, Mr. Powell, that looks a little bit strange. When America was formed, Isn't that supposed to be two states? So what colony was this, do you think? What was the name of the colony when America was formed, Abby?
West Virginia?
Well, not when it was formed. Right? This whole thing was...
Jamestown?
Well, no. Jamestown was the settlement. This whole thing was Virginia. Right? Okay. And then we're going to get West Virginia later. Yeah, it's kind of an interesting fact, isn't it? But, okay, look around. Things like New York are a little bit different. New Jersey, Pennsylvania. So you've got to look at your state maps and kind of compare them a little bit to this. It's kind of interesting to see what is the same and what is not. Right? And so we will remind ourselves of the colonies and what was life like in those colonies. Because, well, in order to understand the American Revolution, which we are preparing to study now, we're going to need to understand what these colonies were like, what life in them was like, what was happening in their lives that would lead them to say in 1776, no more king. Right? Wow. Well, how would they do that? What helps us to understand this rebirth of freedom? So that is going to be a really important chapter of history that we're going to be studying very, very soon here. All right, so this is our new Anchor Fact timeline. I'm going to put it on the class webpage because from now on, right, our story doesn't really make sense without this, does it? Because how would you say that? Last thing for today. How would you explain to somebody why Jamestown and Plymouth are anchor facts of American history? How would you say that to somebody? Why do you say, this is so important for us to know as students of American history? Right, what would you say? You would say, like for instance, I'll give you a hint. American history, discovery of America, you would say, well, there could be no United States of America without the discovery of America. So who can take that one then? Not too hard to switch that one over here as well and put it down here. Why is this the new anchor fact for the elementary class timeline? There could be no United States of America without... What would be the way to explain that to somebody? Nemo?
Discovery of America.
No, that's Columbus. We're not talking about discovery anymore with Jamestown. Without the successful English colonization of America. There we go, right? Because Columbus comes for Spain. So, but we're not going to get a United States of America thanks to the Spanish. Sorry to tell you, they're not going to do it. So we've got to have the English coming over here. Now, there's an interesting question. Why do we have to have the English? We haven't quite figured that one out yet. We don't have everything that we need for American history yet. So that's one part of what we're going to be learning is what was special about the English colonists that helped them eventually to create the United States. All right. Well, good. That is a good review of our key information. And like I said, I'm going to put this on the class webpage. So this one kind of replaces the old one, right, from now on, because you're going to be responsible for being able to tell me Jamestown and Plymouth also as a part of your anchored knowledge of history. All right. So we'll pick that up. We'll pick things up tomorrow with what life was like in the colonies. And we'll go from there. All right. So thank you, everybody. Welcome back to our new year of studies. I'm looking forward to it. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Bye and Happy New Year
Happy
once again.
New Year.